Welcome to the Investment Conversation. I'm Tim Paulson, investment strategist here at Lord Abbott. We could almost title this podcast The Inflation Conversation, especially given the January CPI report showing inflation rising at a 7.5% year-over-year pace. Of course, there are significant implications for Fed Reserve policy and asset markets. We're going to explore those topics with Giulio Martini, Lord Abbott Partner and Director of Strategic Asset Allocation. Welcome, Giulio.
Thanks, Tim. Good to be with you.
Markets have moved a lot in recent months, and I think maybe it's helpful to start with what's driven a lot of that. So I guess the first question to you is going to be, what has changed since the fall that made the Fed do such a full 180 from their transitory view? And why have economists continually undershot on their inflation forecasts?
Well, I'm not sure that the Fed has totally given up the transitory narrative. And I don't think it's going to entirely give it up, because I think inflation will be lower than 7.5% over the next 12 months. But I think what has changed is that the labor market has really tightened much more than the Fed was anticipating. So the unemployment rate has come down sharply, and the labor force participation rate has not increased. So the labor force has been lower. We've seen quits really highly elevated, job vacancies almost 11 million, so very strong labor demand, and wages have really accelerated quite substantially. So I think the Fed was trying to get to the economy towards what it considered to be maximum employment before it started to tighten policy and raise interest rates, especially. And it's gotten there much more quickly than it expected. And that's why I think the schedule for interest rate increases has really been accelerated as much as it has been.
There's a popular narrative all of last summer that this inflation spike, and we certainly mentioned wages here, but that it was all being driven by kind of short-term supply-demand imbalances, lumber, microchips, you know, whatever it was, and it was easy to understand that would resolve itself. Then it became one of supply chain difficulties. But we're seeing a broadening of a lot of the drivers of inflation, right? You mentioned labor, but you're seeing it with housing and with healthcare. Is this also part of why the Fed is changing? Is this a problem?
The supply chain difficulties have two aspects to them, Tim. And the first is just, you know, that COVID means that there are a lot of people ill who are not showing up for work. And so, you know, as businesses have to respond to that, they're just not able to produce as much as they otherwise would. And so that's just a consequence of COVID. And as long as we have people really out of work due to COVID and due to illness, you know, there's going to continue to be some difficulties on the supply side. The second aspect, though, is that, you know, demand really surged for goods, furniture, electronics, of recreational, you know, goods that people use when they're at home. And that's, again, because as people stayed home from work due to COVID, demand switched from services to goods. That surge in goods demand really went beyond, you know, the global system's ability to supply them. And so we saw shortages of, you know, semiconductor chips develop, for instance, in large part because the demand for electronics, you know, really surged beyond, you know, the capacity of the fabs to produce that many chips. So, you know, as we move forward and as COVID impact on the economy diminishes, hopefully, you know, demand should re-equilibrate back towards services and away towards goods. And some of that demand pressure should come off. And so part of the idea that inflation is transitory is the underlying belief that COVID will be transitory and will diminish over time. And that does seem to be happening. As it does happen, some of the pressure on goods prices should certainly come off or even reverse.
I like the distinction you make between the, you know, the demand side price pressures, demand-driven kind of price and supply constraints, because as we just think about the Fed, which has been a major part of price action in markets of late, the Fed really can't do much about the supply, right? And, you know, the COVID timing, all that. But to the extent that they can influence things, it's on the demand side. So now we've gone from markets thinking the Fed would price you know, hike maybe once or twice this year to markets pricing in almost seven hikes or 175 bips of hikes this year. Should we expect those hikes? And if they materialize, what kind of real impact can they have on these inflationary pressures?
Every tightening action by the Fed reduces economic activity and slows down the growth rate. But if the Fed just tightens gradually over a long period of time, the impact on the growth rate is going to be small because, you know, taking out a constant increment the same time over a number of quarters doesn't really slow down growth very much. If the Fed were to be more aggressive and raise rates substantially over a short period of time, then the impact on growth would be large enough to be, you know, significant and noticeable and would slow the economy down. And in the limit, if it did so, you know, aggressively enough, could even cause a recession. But what we're talking about now and what the market's pricing is 6 to 7 25 basis point increases in interest rates over the next year. That would take the Fed funds rate to just under 2%, you know, relatively gradually. It would still leave rates below long-term inflation expectations, so negative real rates. And it would very likely also end up in a very low longer-term bond yield and mortgage rates, which historically have been associated with, you know, a growing economy. So what we're really building in right now is a response that I would say is normalizing policy rates to a still low level that should permit economic growth to continue. What that implicitly assumes is that the Fed will be able to engineer a soft landing where inflation sort of comes back down, the economy slows a little, and, you know, we ultimately get back to the sort of 2% inflation trend, which had been in place for a long time before COVID. That's what I think the consensus view is embedding right now. And the risk is that the inflation regime has changed and that we're really in a situation where we're not going to get back to 2% anytime soon, in which case the Fed would have to move to an outright restrictive policy where it imposed larger increases in interest rates and higher real interest rates, meaning after inflation.
There's a lot in there. I guess one key takeaway is that as of right now, and we're certainly pricing at a faster pace of hikes than we've seen in a couple of decades, but nothing that looks like it would cripple the economy right now, particularly when you consider the low starting point and kind of where inflation and economic growth trajectories are right now. But there is this potential, it sounds like, for inflation to stay stubbornly high and kind of defy this narrative of a soft landing. And then I guess there's also, it sounds like on the other side, the potential that for whatever reason, the Fed feels compelled to get ahead of the curve and tighten very, very aggressively and kind of put the economy into a recession. Is the soft landing possible?
Well, you know, the lesson that the Fed and other central banks around the world learned from the 1970s was that it is much less costly for the economy to stop an inflation problem from developing than it is to bring inflation back down once it's become embedded. And so what that really argues in favor of is responding early rather than waiting and running the risk of inflation becoming embedded and then having to fight to bring it back down. And so I do think that at the point where the Fed decided that the risk of inflation becoming embedded was going up, that it would act, you know, more aggressively to contain an inflation problem. I don't think that that's what the Fed has decided yet. I think if you look at the forecasts, you know, that are contained in the summary of economic projections that's released every 3 months, and we'll get a new set of those after the March FOMC meeting, that the broad view and consensus among Fed forecasters, among economists, and by the way, in the market at large, is that inflation will trend back down to 2% over time, and therefore the Fed does not have to act aggressively enough yet to bring inflation back down, but that it should act to normalize interest rates because its short-term inflation objective of making up for the shortfalls that existed prior to COVID, as well as allowing the economy to come to maximum employment before it started raising rates, have been met. And so the Fed should normalize rates now because the economy no longer needs monetary stimulus. But that is very different from moving to a policy that is actively trying to keep inflation down, because it still, and the world and as a whole, still doesn't see inflation as having become embedded.
So if I'll sum that up then, a lot of the risk factors where that can break down is if it does appear that for some reason we think inflation can stay stubbornly high and is going to defy this kind of slow reversion to something that's more controllable. I guess the final question is, so where can investors hide? I mean, right now we're embarking on a path of hikes. It's all priced in. There's every reason to think that the economy can keep functioning just fine while the Fed starts, you know, acting along a path that they've already kind of managed. Inflation's going to be a little uncomfortably high for a while. Is it safe to get in the pool, or are there certain investments that should perform better than others?
Well, you know, I think what you can't ignore is what's going on, you know, beneath the surface as we have this debate about inflation, is that U.S. companies are producing, you know, stunningly impressive earnings increases. We're about to have the seventh quarter in a row where earnings beat expectations by margins that we had never seen prior to COVID. And that's a result of, you know, very aggressive management of working capital lower. It's a result of really, you know, aggressively managing headcount lower and labor costs lower, and of really capturing productivity gains. And so the record operating margins that companies have been able to realize during this period are, you know, fundamentally extremely impressive. And with markets and PE ratios coming down, you know, from their peak levels, you know, if inflation doesn't accelerate and rates remain very low, you know, the market is very attractive because of those earnings gains. So we shouldn't forget that that's what's going on. Now, if inflation is becoming a problem, then I think what investors have to do is just broadly shorten duration. You know, there's a duration exposure during a period of accelerating inflation is poisonous. And so whether that's shortening maturities in your fixed income portfolio, or whether it's looking for portions of the equity market which are less sensitive to rising interest rates, both of those would be warranted. As far as credit goes, if the economy continues to grow, even if inflation is accelerating, you know, that's actually positive for leveraged companies and potentially lower quality companies. So that's something to keep an eye on is, you know, if the Fed tightens but doesn't over tighten, at some point, you know, credit spreads start to look very attractive. And then lastly, I would say in terms of real assets, what you really want to own is real assets that are in short supply during an inflationary period. And the one that's, you know, most obviously in short supply right now is housing and residential real estate, where vacancy rates are extremely low. And so those are the areas that I think an investor who's really worrying about an incipient embedding of the inflation problem should really focus on for opportunity.
And I know it's always tempting for some investors to just, they hear the Fed's hiking and bad news around the world and to run and hide. But I think it's a very helpful reminder that there are always things that can perform well in just about any environment.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, so definitely, you know, I think it's way too early to really head for the hills in this market. You know, we still have great earnings gains. You know, inflation is more of a problem than people expected. But keep in mind that what the Fed is doing is normalizing policy and not embarking on an anti-inflation campaign, you know, that will, you know, ultimately end in a downturn in the economy. Right now, you know, the scenario that markets are embracing is more of a soft landing scenario than a hard landing scenario.
Thank you, Julio. I know we're about out of time, but I want to thank you for joining us today. I'm sure we'll be discussing this further in the months to come.
It's my pleasure, and thanks for having me, Tim, and thank you all for listening.
As a reminder for those of you listening, if you'd like a transcript of today's podcast or have any further questions on inflation-related investments, please contact your Lord Abbott representative. And as always, you can read more expert insights on markets and economics on lordabbott.com.
Subscribe and rate us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite streaming app of choice. Thank you for listening. A basis point is 1/100th of a percentage point. Basis points are commonly abbreviated as BPS or BIPS. Duration is a measure of the sensitivity of the price or value of principal of a fixed income investment to a change in interest rates. The Federal Open Market Committee, or FOMC, is the policy setting arm of the U.S. Federal Reserve, issues projections of the rate of U.S. economic growth at the conclusion of its meetings in March, June, September, and December of each month. The Federal Reserve System, or Fed, is the central bank of the United States and is governed by the Federal Reserve Board. The federal funds rate, or Fed funds, is the target interest rate set by the Fed, at which commercial banks borrow and lend their excess reserves to each other overnight. Inflation is a decrease in the purchasing power of money, reflected in a general increase in the prices of goods and services in an economy. The U.S. Consumer Price Index, or CPI, is a measure that examines the weighted average of prices of a basket of consumer goods and services, such as transportation, food, and medical care. It is calculated by taking price changes for each item in the predetermined basket of goods and averaging them.
Unless otherwise noted, all discussions are based on U.S. markets and U.S. monetary and fiscal policies. The credit quality of the securities in a portfolio is assigned by a nationally recognized statistical rating organization, or NSRO, such as Standard & Poor's, Moody's, or Fitch, as an indication of an issuer's creditworthiness. Ratings range from AAA, which is the highest, to D, which is the lowest. Bonds rated BBB or above are considered investment grade. Credit ratings BB and below are lower rated securities, or junk bonds. High yielding, non-investment grade bonds, or junk bonds, involve higher risks than investment grade bonds. Adverse conditions may affect the issuer's ability to pay interest and principal on these securities. Investing involves risk, including the loss of principal. The value of investments in fixed income securities will change as interest rates fluctuate and in response to market movements. Generally, when interest rates rise, the price of debt securities fall, and when interest rates fall, prices generally rise. The municipal market can be affected by adverse tax, legislative, or political changes, and by the financial condition of the issuers of municipal securities. Investments in non-U.S. or emerging market securities, which may be adversely affected by economic, political, or regulatory factors and subject to currency volatility and greater liquidity risk. The value of investments in equity securities will fluctuate in response to general economic conditions and changes in prospects of particular companies and/or sectors in the economy. No investing strategy can overcome all market volatility or guarantee future results. Market forecasts and projections are based on current market conditions and subject to change without notice. Projections should not be considered a guarantee. The views and opinions expressed by the Lord Abbott speaker are those of the speaker as of the date of the broadcast and do not necessarily represent the views of the firm as a whole. Any such views are subject to change at any time based upon market conditions or other conditions, and Lord Abbott disclaims any responsibility to update such views. This material is not intended to be relied upon as a forecast, research, or investment advice. It is not a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any securities or to adopt any investment strategy. Neither Lord Abbott nor the Lord Abbott speaker can be responsible for any direct or incidental loss incurred by applying any of the information offered.
The information provided is not directed at any investor or category of investors and is provided solely as general information about Lord Abbott's products and services and to otherwise provide general investment education. None of the information provided should be regarded as a suggestion to engage in or refrain from any investment-related course of action, as neither Lord Abbott nor its affiliates are undertaking to provide impartial investment advice, act as an impartial advisor, or give advice in a fiduciary capacity. If you are an individual retirement investor, contact your financial advisor or other fiduciary about whether any given instrument, idea, strategy, product, or service may be appropriate for your circumstances.
This broadcast is copyright 2022 of Lord Abbott & Co. LLC. All rights reserved. This recording may not be reproduced in whole or in part or in any form without the permission of Lord Abbott. Lord Abbott Mutual Funds are distributed by Lord Abbott Distributor, LLC.